Well, thank you, Pastor Zach, I think, for making that video. Hey, what a great privilege it was to be in Costa Rica and meet the Korean groups from a church that bought the building that we got to dedicate. And I didn't realize they're from Fullerton, California, right by where we grew up. And I asked them, why are a group of Koreans from California buying a bar that we remodeled into a church? And they said, during the Korean War, we received help from Costa Rica and from America, and we owe it to give back. And I thought, what an honor to represent you. All you guys who built and the whole church who prayed, that we had such a big part of that. And I didn't have time because I was leading a whole nother group that was coming in. But I think right after that service, I think they baptized about 30 people again. And we were there when they did a baptism. And God is moving in such a beautiful way in Costa Rica. And we're bringing a group back. I think that was on there in October. And we're going to hopefully build out the bottom level of that church. There's a lower level, and we want to build that out. It's just God's doing great things. And Pastor Zach, thanks for holding down the fort last week. You did a great job. And Pastor Kevin is still gone. He's on a study leave, and then with his family, he'll be back next week. But we've been in the Bible in Matthew, and we've been talking about the Beatitudes. Blessed are those, happy are those who do these things. And they make it pretty simple. Now, when we're in Costa Rica, it's a big deal to have pure water. And I've been in Mexico when I didn't have pure water. And I met Montezuma. And Americans, we're kind of funny when it comes to the whole purity thing. Like, we pay to drink pure water. I read that on the average, Americans will spend $500 million on water purifiers. And then we really want to breathe pure air. Like, who thought of, let's put a purifying filter in our car? You know, I brought my car and I'm like, oh, your air filter in the car, we've got to change it. Well, how much is that? A lot. Well, why? Well, because we don't want you to breathe air that's not pure. Well, I like my windows down. So do we put a filter in the windows? It's like, come on. I wish I would have invented that. Four windows down, no problem, but change the filter because you're going to breathe dirty air. Who thought of that? They're brilliant. Who thought of, let's put water in a bottle that we just get from somewhere and call it pure? And you and me just like, oh, gotta have it. And then pure foods. Who was it? I mean, it's been more than one time that somebody has sued McDonald's, Burger King, and Kentucky Fried Chicken because the water or the food is not good for you. Did somebody have to tell you that food wasn't good for you? I mean, there's some super smart people in this world, and they're rich because we're just kind of kooky. And, you know, I'm all about clean air. I'm all about pure water, pure food. But what does it mean? And is it possible that in America we can overlook what Jesus says? Happy are the pure in heart, for they will see God. As we were singing, I did think about Junie. She's with Jesus. Happy is Junie because she has gone to see the Lord. You know, there's a word here, happy are the pure in heart. It's a word in the Greek called cardia, which we get our word cardiology. And your heart matters, right? If you've ever had any problems with your heart, that little fist-sized muscle in your body, it's a big deal. I read a thing, it beats more than 100,000 times a day. Our hearts matter. Being pure in heart matters. We use this word, oh, my heart throb. Do you know that next month, Sharon and I will be married 76 years? 38 for her, 38 for me. You add those together, she's still my heart throb. Oh, and she's not even here. Babe, did you hear that? That's you, babe. That was almost a song, wasn't it? Oh, no, it's I Got You, Babe. All right, speaking of songs, I don't know if, all right, I flew in Thursday night at midnight, so if you're like, where is he going? Nowhere, but we'll try to get there soon. All right, just tell me if you know who wrote this song. Breaking in a Brand New Broken Heart. Neil Sedaka, 1961. All right, how about this one? Can't you hear my heartbeat, baby? Baby, can't you hear my heartbeat? Herman's Hermits. Yeah, they're like five old people in here. Oh, yeah, I got that one, but I'm so old I don't remember. Me too. Okay, got it. All right, how about this one? Half of my heart. Taylor Smith was part of it. Swift, not Taylor Smith. We're going to close in prayer. All right, let's try once more. Heart of glass. I once had a heart and it was a blast, and I found out it was a heart of glass. Thank Jesus you're in church. Don't be clapping for that sinner. All right, you've got to know this one. Heart of gold. I've been searching for a heart of gold and I'm growing old. Man, God really saved some folks here. It's good. All right, so we understand we need, oh, wait, there's one more. Heartache tonight. There's going to be a heartache tonight. All right, one more. All right, heartbreak town. Pat on the back and better luck next time. It ain't nothing. No, it ain't nothing but a heartbreak town. I probably slaughtered that. The Dixie Chicks. You're right. There's no more Dixie. Okay, you're like, Pastor Jim, where are you going? Well, let me tell you where I'm going. How many people are so hung up on, we've got to eat the right foods. We've got to drink the right water. But have you ever had your heart broken? You understand that. Have you ever had problems with your physical heart? You understand that. But what we don't talk about a whole lot is what the Bible says, happy are the pure in heart, for they will see God. What does that look like? Happy, blessed are, satisfied are those who have a heart on purpose. And the end result of that is that they're going to see God. Let me just ask you two quick questions. The first one is this. Does my life expression match my faith confession? Does my life expression match my faith confession? I'll tell you, when I was in here early and I was kind of worshiping and I was watching the people who sang today, and I thought, you know, they're singing worship, but way more important than hearing those words, I'm seeing worshipers, right? It's one thing to be gifted. It's another thing to reflect the Lord. And what a beautiful job that they did before church and actually during church, not just what we heard, but what you could see, the expression in worship. And I'll just say it this way, where I invest my time, talents, and my money is where my heart is. And it's easy to pile up treasures on earth, but your investment is where you put your heart. And I'm going to tell you, Hope Church, when I cut this ribbon, even though, I mean, I'm left-handed, and I had right-handed scissors. I see both of them, they cut the ribbon, and I'm like, I'm praying, Jesus, help me. I'm trying to saw through this thing. They're all looking at me. I'm like, well, and then we had to wear gloves. I couldn't get those gloves on. They're for little Korean hands. I'm like, how is that glove going to fit on my hand? And I'm like, why are we wearing gloves? The Korean said, you must wear gloves to cut ribbon. Okay, I'll wear, and I notice Christian, he doesn't have a glove. Well, half a glove is better than no glove. So I gave him one of my gloves because he's looking at us. And then cutting this, but I'll tell you, when I talk to those Koreans, they're beautiful brothers and sisters in the Lord. Every one of them was a doctor or a pharmacist. Every one of them has done very well. And they wanted to show Jesus, not just in what they could give, but in what they could do. I mean, they set up a beautiful medical clinic. And every day they went somewhere different. And it was such an honor to hang out with them and talk about Jesus. And one of the guys on the first day, I saw him, he was the top acupuncturist in all of Korea. And he was on this team, and I was watching him stick needles in people. I'm like, well, that's, whoa. And then the next day, I was in another place that we'd been apart, and I thought, you know, I'm cheap. It's free medical. Hey, can you stick those things in me? And he says, where do you hurt? I'm like, oh, you know, I'm 60 years old, just kind of from here to the bottom of my feet. So he starts messing me around and doing this. He's jamming all these needles in me, and I'm praying. I've never done that, never thought I'd do that in my whole life. I thought, okay, if this is the day he misses something and I go and see Jesus, I'm just going to make sure everything's right. But, and I'm here. You're thinking, I think he stuck one in your head, Jim. I don't know what's going on. But, you know, after all of it, and I kind of, you know, look up to them. And I remember that doctor, when we left, he said to me, he said, Pastor, would you remember to pray for me? Do you know what really matters in this life? It's not what you do. And it's not what you have. It's what has you. And what an honor for Hope Church to meet with a congregation from California who are Koreans in Costa Rica and make a difference. But here's my challenge to you. You have a confession of faith, but then you also have a life that you have to walk out. And does your confession of faith match how you live? Your career, your hobbies, your husband, your wife, your kids. God says, I need to be smack dab in the middle of that. Blessed are those who care about the air filter in their Christian life and make sure they have a focus on the things of God. In our lives, God has helped us in so many ways. God has helped us to raise kids who haven't always done what is right, but we've given them an opportunity to grow in their faith. Before I was a pastor, we committed our lives to giving 10% of our income to God. It has absolutely changed our lives. And you know, we don't ask for money here a lot, and I'm not asking for money now, but I'm telling you, if you spend no time on the things of the Lord, and you have no resource going for the things of the Lord, then when we talk about blessed or happy or the pure in heart, you're glitching. And I'm so thankful that 10% of our income and more than that goes to the Lord. I'm so thankful that you made a choice today to say, I could do a lot of other things, but I'm going to come to church. And I believe God's going to bless you for that. I believe God's going to honor you for that. And God has a special gift for you to use. It's called you. Right? We had guys who maybe will never preach a sermon who swung a hammer in Costa Rica. And I don't know, hundreds of people have come to know the Lord because of that. We've had people who've given to a place called Renacer. And some of you know it's a girls' home where they take girls who are 11 to 17 who've been in prostitution and on the streets and that, and they help them and they rehabilitate them. And they have the highest success rate in all of Latin America, and the government wants to know why. And it's because the main principle is Jesus Christ. And of course, they have therapists and others to help and ways to help them in their schooling and that. But it's because people who are called by God are doing what God's called them to do. And don't think for a minute you're not important. You are super important. And God has a plan and God has a purpose for you. Because here's what happens. If we follow the ways of the world and we don't get accurate what we're supposed to do with our time, our talents, and our treasures, then we begin to feel the stress of the world. And we begin to worry. The scripture says in Matthew 6, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life. What you worry most about is probably in the forefront of your life. And Matthew, if you would look at that chapter 6, he talks about the things that we worry about. He says, don't worry. There's the five most important things I think we worry about. Number one of them is in verse 24 is finances. Verse 25 is five. Verse 27 is fitness. Verse 28 is fashion. Verse 34 is our future. And what you worry about the most is a direct reflection of where you spend your energy and your time. God says, if you can somehow connect to me, and it's a very simple sermon. He's on the side of a mountain talking to people who want to know him, and he says, blessed are you. So happy are you if you keep your heart pure. If you don't just worry about water and food, and you worry about what you take in. He says, not only will you be happy, you're going to see me one day. Our goals many times reflect our heart's passion. Does my life expression match my faith confession? Let me mention something interesting here. Happy are the pure in heart. How many people, if you were to ask them, do you want to be happy? Of course they do. And we seek things to make us happy. And we've said this before, happiness is the result of something. How many people look their whole lives, happiness is a consequence. And Jesus says you will be happy as a consequence of truly seeking me. Every time I go out of the country, I'm blown away. We were at a place called Las Gradas, and you have to go down like 126 steps to get there. And at the bottom of this hill, it's the poorest slum in Costa Rica. There's a river that's brown and just disgustingly dirty. You'll see lots of pipes coming off of the side of the mountain, and that's where everything flows. And we're down there standing, and there's piles of trash. And there's little kids who they saw that we were there, and we built a little building down. We didn't build the building. We put down the foundation in that for a little building where they get to play and have fun and learn about Jesus. And these little kids knew that we were there, so they pulled off their shirts, and they're diving in this water and swimming. And they are having so much fun. And I looked at the guys and gals with me. I said, we just don't see that in America. These kids literally have nothing. 90% of the children who live on that hill are physically or sexually abused. And that's why we built a building right there in honor of somebody who was part of our church. They gave resources. We built a building and dedicated it in their name, and it's a counseling center. The most beautiful building on the side of this hill to just love on those precious little kids. But here's my point. How can somebody who has absolutely nothing smile as big as you could possibly smile? And how many times do we wish we just had one more thing? Again, I'm not against you. I'm not against me. But the truth is, we worry about a lot of stuff because we get our focus shifted off of what really matters. And what really matters is one of Junie's favorite verses, John 3:16. For God so loved you and me, this world, that he gave his son. That any one of us, if we would receive his son, we would have everlasting life. That's what matters. But there's such a rub. You know, there's all these things that I like things and I want this, but is that thing that I bought going to keep me from maybe being here on a Sunday? Or is that thing I bought going to stress me out where I can't give to the things of God? And then, what about this? And I didn't get the newest one. And then all of a sudden we have all this worry and we have all this anxiety and we have all these problems. And we forgot about the filter on our hearts. And then I see little kids in Costa Rica who've been taught about Jesus who cannot wait to get down to the bottom of that hill, and they see us and they're so thrilled and they're swimming in water that I don't know. Nasty. But they're smiling. Just beautifully. Happiness is a result. It's a byproduct of serving God. In the 30-some years I've been a pastor, I've seen people in just rough times who still have peace in their heart, still have joy because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. Their happiness, their joy is not based on what is happening. It's based on a God who loves them no matter what comes in this world. The result of having an unmixed motive and living for God, no matter what, is you get to see God in your life now and you get to spend eternity with him forever. I admire David in Psalm 51. It comes after a horrible experience in David's life. He had committed adultery with another man's wife, and then he had that man murdered. And then he, as a murderer and an adulterer, he reflects upon what he's done and where he is, and then he writes this psalm. And he writes this: have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the sin, the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. I recognize my shameful deeds. They haunt me day and night. Against you and you alone I have sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. He goes on to say, oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me, now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right spirit within me. It goes on, you would not be pleased with sacrifices, or I would bring them. If I brought you a burnt offering, you wouldn't accept it. The sacrifice you want is a broken spirit, a broken and repentant heart. God, you will not despise. So David was ashamed of what he did, but he decided not to let it define his entire life. Let me ask a question this morning, and then I want to pray with you. What would you say today is a condition of your heart? Maybe it's a broken heart. Maybe it's because of some type of loss, and your heart is broken. Maybe you have a hard heart. You have been hurt, and you have been hurt, and you have been hurt, and you're just like, I have a wall around my heart because I don't want to be hurt anymore. Maybe today, if you were super honest, you would say, the truth is I have a divided heart. I act this way on Sunday, but I shift a different gear, and this is how I act on Monday. And I can tell you what the Lord says if you have a broken heart. He says, I want to help you. That baby has to be saying, hallelujah, preach it, preacher. I can't compete with a baby. Baby's way too cute. And I don't mind a baby crying. I'm glad babies are here. Maybe you have a heart that just needs healing because it's broken. Maybe if you were super honest, you'd say, I'm just tired of being hurt. Maybe you would say, you know, I have a divided heart. I've got a lot more worry and stress than I would like, but it's because I'm just a little off kilter with my focus. I'm just a little tainted towards enjoying the things of this world, and none of that's wrong, right? It's not about things that are wrong and I'm pointing a finger. I'm just trying to tell you today, Jesus preached a simple message, and he says, you want to be happy? You got to think about your heart, and not just your physical heart, your spiritual heart. And we could do what David did and just say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. And just in these next moments, just tell him, this is where I think I'm a little bit tilted. And Lord, would you bring me to a point? Maybe it'll take a day. You know, for me, it's taken 40 years of trying to serve the Lord to say, could you just tilt me a little bit back? Could you just refocus me? Could you just help me to think about how do I use my time? How do I use my talents? Where am I investing treasures? Is it all for the things on this earth? Or is there something that I'm doing in my life that matters for all eternity? Let's pray together. I want to pray with you, and I want to pray for you this morning. God, I feel like there's three prayers I want to pray. I want to pray for those whose hearts are hurting today. And maybe it's needing comfort from you because we've lost a loved one. Maybe it's our hearts have been broken and we don't even know what happened. We don't know why the circumstances ended up like they did. but we have a broken heart. And Lord, I just sense that there's some who they're so soft-hearted, they have a hard heart right now because they've been hurt and they're just tired of it. And so they've built up a wall, and it's not just a wall against people, it's a wall against you. Lord, you can heal and you can bring strength into a broken heart. You can soften a wounded heart. And Lord, you can help us just like you helped David. You didn't throw David out. You didn't throw him out. There were consequences of his actions, but he is called a man after God's own heart. And Lord, is it possible today that some of us, we're just a little more divided than we ought to be, and we feel a little bit of conviction right now that the truth is we know you have more for us, and we have a lot of stress, we have a lot of anxiety, because we're not putting you first. So God, we come to you, and just in this moment of, just this holy moment, would you be honest before God and say, God, here's where I'm at. Help my heart that's broken. Help my heart that's hard. Help my heart that's been hurt over and over again. God, help my divided heart. Help me to be like David. It's not about what we give or that. It's about a broken and repentant heart. And if any of those three you're saying, Pastor Jim, I'm praying right now, but I would love you to remember to pray for me this week. What an honor for me. But I want you to look up at me and say, Pastor Jim, include me in your prayers this week. Okay. Man, I love Hope Church. I love Hope at Home. What an honor to be one of your pastors and be able to pray for you. Yeah, make sure we connect eyes. You're not looking to me for answers. You're looking to Jesus, but I'm going to be praying to Jesus with you and for you. Yeah, I love y'all so much. Father, thank you. Thank you for Hope Church. Thank you for Hope at Home. Those who are on vacation or some other thing and they're watching from home. Lord, I lift each one who's asking me to pray to connect them again with you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, not only forgive us, but cleanse us. God, create in us a new heart. Let this not be who we are, but just where we are. And we lean into you right now. God, purify us. That the end result of that is more satisfaction and happiness here on earth. But the real end result is that we will see God. Jesus, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us. Jesus, heal our hurts. Jesus, create in us a new heart. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessing of being here today. God, as each one goes, I pray this prayer over and over, but I mean it so much. Bless them, God. Keep them in you, Lord. Let your face radiate about them and through them. God, I pray peace upon these friends. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks so much for being here today. We'll look forward to seeing you this next week.